Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board this morning as we face the issues. Let me remind you that you, our audience, allow us to set forth the program, the ideas, bring about and bring to the forefront some news from a biblical Christian perspective. As we look at the world, as we see the events taking place, unfurling before our eyes on a 24/7 basis, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible respond to or address these issues? I don't believe there's an issue that we could be faced with in life, whether it's social, economic, political, theological, doctrinal, biblical, but that God has an answer in the Scripture. This is the reason I encourage people to have a central biblicist worldview. Someone asked one time, what does that mean? In fact, I had an individual say, you're an Arminianist, are you a Calvinist? I said, neither. He said, well, what are you? He said, I'm a central biblicist. That is, what does the Bible say? You see, if we cast off all of the dogmas, all of the ideological bents, all of the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of denominationalism, and simply pare it down to what does the Bible say, it makes a vast, vast difference in how we respond to issues in life. This is the reason Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything, any source, any resource material, any place that we could go that it has a greater impact on life and living than the Word of God. This is the reason Jesus had said that to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. Then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. I am truth. And then in John 17, 17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. So this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I say from Genesis 1, 1 through the book of the Revelation, you find the Bible, which is a book of truth. And I believe that we need to recognize the truth today and stand by truth, perhaps more urgently needed today than in any time in the history of America or in the history of our world. I do realize that we are in a major declension in America. I do realize that we're in a moral declension in America. I do realize that morals and ethics and values and anything that's called biblical truth is shunned in Washington. But it's as George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe we're witnesses to that very fact today, ladies and gentlemen. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this very powerful statement, and I believe it is fitting for us today. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's imperative for us to do that today. I believe that when we watch and witness what is taking place in Washington, when we see what is being said by our national so-called leaders, both the House and the Senate, both aisles, the Democrat and the Republican, I believe as we see the events unfurling on a global basis that shows the hand of God saying, look up, listen to me, see me, I'm in control. I believe that we need to recognize the truth. And I believe we need to listen to the truth and learn the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a hated factor today in society. The only way we can overcome that is by sticking to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it. The telephone number that allows you to call in today is 831-0917, 831-0917. The telephone call gets you immediately through to the telephones in our studio and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you. We're talking about today, again, what I found is intriguing to our listeners, an opportunity for you to, as some have said, get in your 2 cents worth, open mic day, what I simply call bits and pieces. And I usually select those news items that I believe would be more appropriately discussed from a conservative Christian standpoint. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor powered equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands Lakonda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of professional landscape equipment and homeowner equipment for taking care of the lawn, with also hurricane preparedness equipment. They also, Tools for Time also has a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer all your questions about power backup generation, as well as the power equipment for lawn care and for landscape in your home and for your professional business. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. To Evelyn, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. And for your edification and information, there's a gigantic flagpole there, about 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic American flag flowing. And that flag is flowing 24/7. And at the foot of that flagpole, at the base of that flagpole, is Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located there at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, on open mic today, I encourage you to call in, jump in, give your 2 cents worth, and ask your questions. Love to have your questions or statements regarding our discussions each day. But with an open mic day and what I call bits and pieces, you'll have an opportunity to jump in and give your thoughts and ask your questions about a variety of things today. Perhaps the item that's on your heart that you're concerned about, especially as a conservative or as a Christian, and you're concerned about an issue, we'd love to have dialogue and discussion with you on it. Bring that subject up. Be delighted to answer your questions and respond to your dialogue. Ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus, let me just start out with that. The coronavirus continues to expand on a global basis today. And as of today, there's approximately 80,000. I think one news source said it was a little over 80,000. So I'm using just the round figures, approximately 80,000 cases that of individuals infected, a little over 3,000 deaths as a result of it on a global basis. America now has about 16 cases, according to the 6:30 morning news, about 16 cases. And there's about two Americans that have died as a result of the coronavirus. The CDC and the DHS and the World Health Organization warn of the danger of panic in America. Listen, there's a panic effect that's taking place. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, there's some that are whipping up that panic effect because they desired outcome. And we'll talk about that in a moment in this portion of the broadcast today. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they're warning us of that panic. The panic buying of facial masks and other perceived essentials have caused some bare shelves in some stores like Costco in some cities. In fact, I've watched the video footage on that, looked at some of the pictures in some of the Costco stores where shelves are empty, literally bare, empty, as a result of the panic that's taking place over what the future holds. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in at this point. God is still in control. God still holds our future. Our future of every minute, every heartbeat, every breath, our future for each and every day are all held in the hand of God. And it's my most humble opinion based on the authority of Scripture. God is the one that's sovereignly in control, and it's God that knows best as to what is going to take place. But listen, let me tuck in a little thought. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that God operates in a symmetric fashion, just as he did in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, as the Israelites would leave God and literally forsake God and follow other gods. God would bring them into bondage, into captivity of another nation, until the Israelis, the Jewish people, would recognize their sin, confess their sin, God would then forgive them, bring them back to a place of standing in society where they were productive and beneficial and being blessed, and they would do the same thing cycle after cycle after cycle. And I believe we're watching the hand of God in the same symmetry as he works with the globe today and with America today. He's wanting our attention. He's wanting us to turn back to him. God is wanting us to recognize that he is in control. But ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, America is still the safest country in all the world when it comes to our health scenario and situation. Howbeit, listen, 97% of our antibiotics come out of China. Those plants, those pharmaceutical production plants, are closed because of the coronavirus in China. China is in a major, major position of difficulty today as a result of the coronavirus. 85% plus of all of our medical supplies are manufactured in China. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you why. Because under the William Jefferson Clinton administration, Bill Clinton gave China the most favored nation trade status. As a result of that, just about everything that America has on its shelves and Walmarts and other stores, just about every pill that we take, every pharmaceutical that's prescribed by the physicians, all manufactured in the nation of China today, because the Chinese workers work for 50 cents or a dollar a day or its equivalent. And as a result of that, we scream and cry and hear all of the politicians talk about the unfairness of wages in America when America gets paid higher wages per hour than any other nation on the globe. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, our economy was as good or better in the days there was no such thing as a minimum wage. Supply and demand made a difference in what kind of work, what kind of workers were producing, and companies that were making the money and paying the most to their employees. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a screaming cry out of Washington about wanting and demanding a $15 an hour wage in America, and we're absolutely farming out. That is having the companies around the globe where they're doing slave labor, as it would be called, to carry out the process of making and manufacturing our goods. And we're buying into that philosophy. It is my prayer, it is my desire to see that totally reversed just as a result of the coronavirus and the panic that is taking place on a global basis. But ladies and gentlemen, it's because of American pharmaceutical and the greed that they can have a bottle of pills made for about 50 cents, and then it's billed out through the drug production and through the drug distributors in America. It's billed out then by the insurance companies to the insurance companies at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for that 50 cents bottle of pills. And I find that egregious, but nevertheless, that's cause and effect. That's what we see taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the high probability of the spread to major cities in America, and because the possibility, and yea, even the probability of future additional deaths in America as a result of the coronavirus, as a result of that, one of the doctors with the Centers for Disease Control, known as the CDC, making the statement, quote, that it's not a matter of if, but when America gets hard hit with the virus. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, last week the stock market dropped about 3,500 points. About 3,500 points. Stock market was hit harder and had the lowest level since 2008 recession. And that's not good. And it's not good for a multiple of reasons. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But as a result of that physician making that statement, it caused the major panic in the market. So the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. Was that statement by that physician in the CDC, was that a contrived statement? Was it a statement that simply is fact, or is it fiction? Is it something we need to recognize as being truth, or is it possible it's error that's contrived for a very open purpose? Ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is Rod Rosenstein's sister, a group of Trump haters that publicized that statement. Some believe that the hype of the virus is designed to tank the market and caused the major financial collapse in America just to get President Trump and to prevent his reelection. Here's the article, ladies and gentlemen, in case you've not heard it. Title of the article, CDC official helping spook, S-P-O-O-K, helping spook Trump's economy with coronavirus fears is Rod Rosenstein's sister, dated February the 28th, 2020. An intriguing connection related to one of America's top health officials at the center of the national discussion over the potential severity of the coronavirus in America has some wondering about a conspiracy, while others find it only a coincidence. Fears that the coronavirus will have devastating impact beyond those already being registered around the globe have triggered a major Wall Street sell-off. President Donald Trump has pushed back against the culture of panic. But is there a political tinge to the pronouncements? Speculation is that it could be that. Could be that it rose after it was discovered that the health official making dire pronouncements about the impact of the coronavirus, contrary to those offered by the Trump administration, connected to another high-profile individual who often was at odds with the president. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. In 2018, the New York Times linked Rosenstein to an internal administration plot to record Trump in a secret and then invoke the 25th Amendment, under which the president can be removed for being unfit to perform his duties. During a hearing to be confirmed to the Post, now being confirmed by the Post, Rosenstein submitted written testimony saying that his sister was Dr. Nancy Musiner and that she is the director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This week, while the president was trying to reassure Americans that health officials were working to protect Americans, this physician was taking a different approach. Quote, this is the quote now from Rod Rosenstein's sister, the physician with DNC. It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but more really a question of when it will happen, she said, according to the NPR, adding that a significant disruption of the American daily lives is possible, end quote. Quote, we're asking the American public to work with us to prepare with the expectation that this could get very bad, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if words like that will not cause a panic, I don't know what would. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, you know the end of the story. You know the results. The stock market, the day after that was said, in fact, the afternoon after that was stated, the stock market started absolutely plummeting at a very rapid rate on one occasion, on one day, over 1,000-point drop. The next day, almost 1,000 points. The next day, it was a little over 800 and then receded some. Total of a little over 3,500 points drop in the stock market. That was trillions and trillions, and may I say trillions, of dollars lost out of the pockets of investors on a global basis as a result of that one physician, Rod Rosenstein's sister, of a family that hates President Donald J. Trump. And on one occasion, Rod Rosenstein wanted to secretly wire himself and others to try to trap the president into saying some things that would make him look as though he was not in his right mind, so that they could then institute the 25th Amendment that would allow the president to be removed because of inability, inability to be able to run the nation based on some problem mentally or emotionally that would cause that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with some dire circumstances in America, to say the least. Then on top of that, to have the coronavirus to come in and cause multitudes to be frightened to death, panic-stricken, and as a result of that, making decisions that are absolutely unwise decisions. In fact, here's an article that says, virus deepens the sell-off, threatens the Trump economy and his future reelection, dated March the 2nd, 2020. Edmund Burke said, that's Edmund, E-D-M-U-N-D, Edmund Burke, says, no power so effectively robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reassuring as does fear. It was Jimmy Stewart that said, fear is an insidious and deadly thing. It can warp judgment, freeze reflexes, breed mistakes. Worse, it's contagious, end quote. That's the beginning of this article. Then it says, weeks ago, my husband said to me, this virus is an attack on President Trump's economy. Trump's trade demands and tariffs literally brought Red China's economy to its knees. Perhaps the coronavirus was turned loose to bring the rest of the world's economies to the same level. Since Trump took office, America's economy has been booming. But both Red China and America's socialist Democrats and communists would love to see us suffer recession. This raging virus has already destroyed $3.8 trillion. Ladies and gentlemen, that was $3.8 trillion in the stock market. The Chinese have set a trap for Trump, according to this particular writer. The left doesn't care how many people suffer or die from coronavirus. If they can remove Trump from office and regain their globalist worldview and world order. The Democrats have no problem murdering unborn babies. The blood of 61 million is on their hands. Why would they be bothered in the least with a few thousand more deaths in America and around the world? Panic is actually spreading, and guess who's doing it? The CDC, this article says. The CDC officials helping spook Trump's economy with the coronavirus fear is Rod Rosenstein's sister. She said on an NPR interview that it's not a question of if the virus will spread, but only when it will spread. That's a dual article, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the contriving of an element that will petrify and panic Americans, that will cause the plummeting of the market. In fact, my wife will tell you that I said to her as well as to others over a year ago that the best thing that President Trump has going for him is the super, super strong economy. I said then and I say today, if that economic picture can be shaken or undermined, it will have a devastating effect on the reelection of the president that I believe God has divinely intervened and placed into office. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, let me add a little parenthetical footnote. If God has divinely intervened and put him in office, I believe God can divinely intervene and keep him in office. Howbeit, we do not know the mind of God and what God's intentions might be for the chastisement of America because we've banned God, we've banned the Bible, we've refused God, and in every aspect of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, there's an attack on God. There's an attack, ladies and gentlemen, and it's for the soul of America based on trying to remove the fundamental foundation of spirituality and of godliness in the part of Americans and not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, some not realizing that this is the very thing that's clawing at the foundation of our great nation today. Even Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, even Hollywood, they're all in a real frenzy being churned today with the idea that somehow, some way, that they can push and shove and have an economic downturn that will cause President Trump not to be reelected. Hollywood, all of the Hollywood elites are openly hoping. I read an article just last week where the elitists in Hollywood are openly, quote, praying and hoping that there will be an economic turndown, a financial collapse. In fact, one of them said that they would like to see a national depression if that would prevent President Trump from being reelected. Ain't that wonderful? Coming out of Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, they're wanting a full recession, if not a total depression, in order to keep President Trump from being reelected. May I say to you that it deserves the prayers of every Christian listening today, that we pray and ask God to intervene in this scenario called the coronavirus. Not just for the safety and the health of human beings, although that is primary, but also for the safety of our nation and the future that we go in with the election of the next president of the United States of America. Every Christian, every conservative, I believe, needs to pray and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, confess our sins, and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 being paraphrased to make the statement, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us we need to ask God to intervene in the election and give President Donald J. Trump the victory at the ballot box. By the way, next Tuesday is Super Tuesday, they call it. I think there's 12 or 14 states that have their primaries. We're going to watch some major shakeups and changes in the trajectory of the Democratic Socialist Communist Marxist Party, and who will be that at the helm. And I've said for many, many months now that I believe when it comes down to the Democratic National Convention, when they have the convention to determine the candidate, the one that will be facing off against President Donald J. Trump, I believe we'll see a brokered convention. First ballot, they will not have a surviving winning candidate. And then it's when the superdelegates within the Democratic National Committee jumps in and they make the decision. And ladies and gentlemen, they're in a strait today because basically the leftists, the Marxists, the socialists, the communists within the party do not want Bernie Sanders, the out-and-out Bolshevik Russian communist. They do not want him as the candidate. And I understand that. I'm in agreement. But as a result of that, they're scrambling to find a candidate. And I've said, and I pray that I'm wrong, that by the time of the convention, they will have either Michelle Obama or they will have Hillary Rodham Clinton to step in and save the day by becoming the nominee without having run a campaign, become the nominee for the Democratic Socialist Marxist Communist Party. I believe we're watching the makings of that now, but nevertheless, we're going to see a fiasco that is in the making today. But can you imagine having a communist president? Can you imagine Bernie Sanders that took his honeymoon in Russia? Can you imagine Bernie Sanders that visited Cuba on a number of occasions? Can you think about Bernie Sanders that just 2 years ago praising Venezuela and its communist dictator because of the wonderful nation that Venezuela was? And now look at Venezuela today. The average citizen searching through the garbage piles and the refuge and the dumpsters, trying to find just a morsel of food to eat. The nation of Venezuela, which was a nation of wealth because of its natural resources like gas and oil, now at the bottom of the pit simply because of a dictator. The same mind, ladies and gentlemen, is the mind of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, don't let him fool you. Bernie Sanders is a full-fledged, absolute out-and-out communist. The man didn't have a job until he was 28 years old. He floated across the nation in his Volkswagen bus. The only income that he had, even by the time he was 28 years old, the only income that he had was off welfare and living off others. And then finally, he landed some work. He was writing pornographic articles and getting paid by the publishers of those articles, $50 per article. Some of the articles that he had written are too profane, too, immoral for me to even state them or re-communicate them by this broadcast today. And now for the past, 35 years, 40 years, Bernie Sanders has been on the dole from the taxpayers. That's the only income he's ever had, the only job he's ever had. And he loves communism. He loves Fidel Castro's administration. And when Fidel Castro was incarcerating people, putting them in re-educational camps, Bernie Sanders calls that the educational program. Bernie Sanders says teaching people how to read is not bad. I think it's good, Bernie Sanders stated. He was praising Fidel Castro's re-educational camps where he supposedly was teaching people how to read. Yes, that was the fact, but the fact is they were in re-educational camps, concentration camps, as a result of saying something against the government, against Fidel Castro and his leaders. Some of you that's listening today have a background from Cuba. Some of you have a background from coming from that place, and you know what it's like. You know what it's about, and yet Bernie Sanders wants to return to that kind of leadership in America today. Can you imagine our nation with that kind of leadership, our nation turning into a socialist communist? By the way, socialism is communism light. And our youngsters today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, they've been brainwashed in the colleges and the universities by the communist professors teaching them that socialism is good. Recently, a poll was taken by Pew Research, I believe it was, or the Gallup poll, one or the other, and they said that the overwhelming majority of the millennials believe that socialism is good and capitalism is bad. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our top-of-the-hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with Open Mic with David Bits and Pieces.
Visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. President Trump has signed an $8.3 billion measure to help tackle the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S. A dozen people have died in the United States, and over 200 are infected across 18 states. The new coronavirus has infected more than 100,000 people worldwide as it pushes its way past more borders and weaves itself deeper into daily lives. Meanwhile, more than half the people who contracted the virus have now recovered, and U.S. officials project a lower death rate than initially feared. Hiring jumped in February as employers added 273,000 jobs, evidence the economy was in strong shape before the coronavirus began to sweep through the U.S. The Labor Department says the unemployment rate fell to 3.5%. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 458 points, the Nasdaq down 159. More details at srnnews.com.
Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today with Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that the telephone number is 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. It is open mic day. I call it bits and pieces. I like to share some fragments and parts of the international news, and especially from the perspective of how it affects Christians and how it affects the conservatives in America. I believe that every Christian ought to be registered to vote. In 2016, I believe the number was something like 31 million Christians that did not vote. Ladies and gentlemen, shame on you if you're one of that 31 million. Need to be registered to vote. We need to vote. Back in 2012, I believe it was, published a book, Is It Time for Revolution? And I stated on the cover, in fact, there will be a revolution. Will it be on the battlefield or the ballot box? My preference is to see the revolution at the ballot box, where we, the people, the conservatives in America, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, any one of the socialist, Marxist, communist candidates running for president, if any one of those goes into office, it will be doom and devastation and destruction and persecution and prosecution for the Christians in America. Our religious liberties will absolutely be destroyed, vacuous, void, gone, nada, nothing. I don't know if I can say it any more dramatically and dogmatically than that. Ladies and gentlemen, do you recall Nancy Pelosi recently said that what President Trump is doing to fight the coronavirus is too little, too late? You recall her saying that? Of course, Chuck Schumer said that as he looks over his reading glasses and speaks to the camera, and he pronounces doom and gloom because President Trump is the president, and the coronavirus has also hit America now. And then Nancy Pelosi says it's too little, too late. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that they think that we have forgotten the Obama administration. I think that they think that we are ignorant of the history past. Ladies and gentlemen, it was in 2009, under the Obama administration, that we had the H1N1 virus. You recall that, some of you. America saw about 1,000 deaths in America before Obama did anything to combat the virus. Here's the article. Fact check. Obama waited until millions infected and 1,000 deaths in America before declaring the H1N1 virus an emergency. It's called, let's call it the Trump virus, urged a New York Times. This is from the printing, from the fake news now that said this. Let's call it Trump virus, urged the New York Times opinion writer conspiratorially. Nancy Pelosi groused that President Trump waited too long to attack the coronavirus, and then impetuously declared he couldn't have left over any unspent Ebola virus money to fight it with, while Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, looked down his nose and over his glasses to intone that it was the end of the world and that the president hadn't spent enough money to stop the scourge. Joe Biden and Michael Bloomberg have both called out the politicization of the virus. By their rights, Trump's doing it all wrong of what they're saying. They are praying for a pandemic filled with infected people and the decimating of the stock market just to fix Trump's wagon, as it would be called, in his reelection campaign. Now that the whole Russian secret agent and peeping Tom aspect in the story all went belly up, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's horrific to understand, to think about, and get our minds around the fact that here's an administration that's doing everything right. Before one death in America, President Trump had already assimilated a major, major, major task force to be at the cutting edge, the spear's point, to do everything possible to protect all Americans from the coronavirus. And here's the left that's wishing for, hoping for, praying for, if I can use the insert that term, that somehow, some way, there will be a catastrophe, health-wise a catastrophe, just so that it'll make Trump look bad, so the stock market will plummet, so that Trump cannot be reelected. I don't know if you could think of anything any more wicked, any more vile, any more evil than that. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
You know, these communist Marxists, they feed on needy people. They need needy people in order for them to be elevated into positions of power, to maintain power, to grab more power. They need catastrophe. They need disasters. They need, again, poor people, people that are genuinely needy. That's why in the midst of this chaos, they're still for open borders. Can you imagine hospitals across the United States overrun by individuals that walk in the door, demand service? By the way, under federal law, they cannot be refused service. So you imagine illegals flooding into hospitals, demanding service in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a disaster, in the middle of a catastrophe, and actually exacerbating the nature of it, the level of it. Matter of fact, as we watch this take place, as this coronavirus, as this COVID-19 spreads, and mortality rates are anywhere from the high 1% to the as much as 20% mortality rates. Can you imagine walking into a hospital? You've got a cough, and it's been going on for a few days, and you're unable to catch your breath. It seems like you walk into a hospital, and the emergency room is packed full, and every single suite is packed full. By the way, in areas where they are your sanctuary cities, that's going to happen. Those cities, you know, places in California where they have an estimated 11 million illegal aliens, according to some estimates, they'll walk into those hospitals, demand the services. By the way, when they walk out of the hospitals, you will pay the bill, because there's nowhere to send the bill for an individual that is illegally in this country. They're illegally in this country. And you will be in line behind those individuals. And this is not, you know, Trump was accused of xenophobia when he, early on in this, he saw the numbers and he said, we're shutting off travel from these parts of China. Immediately, yeah. Chuck Schumer took to Twitter and said Trump was a racist. He was a xenophobe. He was, you know, he was overreacting. This is, a major overreaction. Now, Schumer has gone out and tried to erase that tweet. It didn't work for him because we've already recorded that tweet. That's public knowledge. It was an overreaction by Trump. It was xenophobia by Trump 5 weeks ago. Today, supposedly, according to Trump, Schumer and Pelosi, Trump's reaction has been infinitesimally small. It was a too small of a reaction, and it's too late. Well, hold on a second. Get it straight. Which way is it? Was it an overreaction then or an underreaction now? You folks need to get your story straight. But again, the left, the socialists, the Marxists, they must have this level of chaos. They must. That's the only way they can achieve power, gain power, maintain power. And for anybody that's of a socialist mentality listening today, I challenge you, go to a socialist country and tell me you like it better than you like America. You won't have your iPhone and sit down in your Starbucks and tweet your problems about society or Facebook your problems about society. First off, the government's going to squelch your communication. Second off, you're not going to have access to a $1,000 phone and a $50 or $60 or $70 a month bill for your phone. You're not going to sit down at a Starbucks because they're not going to survive in a socialist society when it's really $5 coffee. You can't get anything for less than $5. You sit as a socialist in this country, and you enjoy all the wonders of capitalism restrained by some modicum of Christian restraint. You go to a socialist country and see how good you live. It's they flee those countries in order to come to places like this. Send Bernie Sanders down to Venezuela and say, Bernie, when you fix Venezuela, come back here and show us how it's done. His strategy has been tried over and over and over. There's death and devastation. There's starvation everywhere socialism goes. It's absurd. It's completely absurd.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with one of our sons. Notice I said our. My bride always tells me it's not your son, it's our son's. So, and that's a little in-home joke that we have. But we're talking today with Greg Youngblood, one of our sons. Greg is up in the mountains of Tennessee, and he enjoys the cold weather and enjoys the snow in the ice. I don't. But Greg does tell me that he tells me that when the rapture comes, he'll get to heaven quicker because he's closer. And now that could be true. I don't know. But, Greg, thank you for calling in and let's talking about these things. Greg, I've had a conversation before my broadcast today with a gentleman. We were talking about this socialist, Marxist, communist. We're talking about the Bernie Sanders sense of, how would you say, power and the number that's following him. And this gentleman said that it's partly our fault that Bernie Sanders has the following. And I said, explain. He said, well, with the group that is in the millennial age group today, he said the parents of those in the millennial age group brought them up fully expecting to be given everything. That age group parent brought up when they had nothing and it was difficult. They worked hard, gained, and were able to accomplish something. And that he said, and we did not want our children to be brought up having nothing. And so we gave them everything they wanted. So as a result of that, his take on this, he says, as a result of that, they've grown up having everything given to them. So they expect that is the should be the norm, the way of life. And when they get out of home from mom and dad, they expect the government or the world to continue to give them what they want and take care of their every need. And therefore, he says it's our problem, our fault that causes that. Because in my conversation, I was talking about the socialist, Marxist, communist professors in the universities that's teaching them that socialism is good and that capitalism is bad. Share with our listeners the pros and the cons of that and what is the cause and effect. Why are we seeing I believe the statistics say that 78% of the Bernie Sanders followers and supporters, 78% think that socialism is good and that capitalism is bad. Why do we see that phenomenon?
We have a generation coming up today, this millennial generation, the Gen Zs. These folks are some of the most educated, yet some of the most ignorant people I've seen in my entire life, and it's not entirely their fault. Yeah, you know, it's the parents' fault, but it's the professors' fault. We have literally since we have started our Department of Education, since we've injected government into education here and there and everywhere, our academic standards have fallen and fallen and fallen and fallen. We keep shifting the scores. Even your SAT, it gets scored totally differently. We're adjusting mathematic tests to bend to ethnic variations. I mean, things that should be pure science are now subjective and speculative. Professors that in the 70s, the 60s, were against the war in Vietnam. I mean, we had, 58,000 lives, American lives, lost there. And you can argue back and to as to whether or not we should have ever been there, but it was truly fighting the spread of communism. When we fought World War II, literally, we fought off socialism and communism on one aspect and had a communist nation as an ally in another respect. But we had generations that fought against this spread of socialism and communism. And today there's an embrace. Well, you find your anti-war protesters of the 60s and 70s, many of those rolled right into the classroom as professors.
Yes,
and for decades now, they've taught our students, they've taught our kids to hate capitalism and to embrace communism. These folks were, many of them, closet communists, closet socialists themselves, and that's why they were against the war. That's why they didn't want to see what they perceived as their allies being fought against. They liked that ideology, even though it cost 100 million lives in the past century. They love that ideology. They love the power that comes with that ideology. They see themselves as the top of the pile of poop, because they will turn this nation into poop if they're given the opportunity. But they see themselves like Elizabeth Warren pulling down, I understand, a $400,000 salary at Harvard for teaching her one little course. If these socialists, if these Marxists, if these communists believed half of what they claim to believe, they wouldn't be charging crazy amounts of money to teach in our college. But they do. You see colleges and universities full of this type, of this ilk, and it goes all the way back to, and I've expressed this before, the early 20th century, when John Dewey, an avowed communist, Marxist, socialist, whatever, he was running the National Education Association for a dozen years. He started the ball rolling, and 100 years later, we see how that ball rolling has mushroomed. We see how half of these millennials, half of them, fully embrace communism as a proper ideology, a proper financial system, a proper course for our United States. The decimation that will come with that, and they're ignorant to it. They're completely ignorant to it. Every time you point out a fallen, a failed socialist or communist government, they'll say, well, that wasn't real socialism. That wasn't real socialism. Literally, they are taught that the real problem with Nazi Germany was nationalism. It's national socialism. It was socialism, folks. Don't you realize the feeding frenzy, the spending frenzy that goes on? Right now, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, one after another, talk about free college. You know, the other day when Bernie Sanders said that, I have a $1.3 trillion plan to make all college free. And you go, hold on a second, you just said $1.3 trillion, and then you said free in the same sentence. Are you an idiot, or do you think we are idiots? Which is it?
That's exactly it. And what the average person in America does not realize, we have about a $4 trillion a year budget, I believe it is. If you're talking about $1.3 trillion, you're talking about the majority of the budget. In fact, what they're talking about with the Green New Deal would be the equivalent of 10 years of 100% taxation on the citizens, and 100% of the taxation going into the Green New Deal just to fund what they're talking about in that program. Greg, there is one good point that could come from the coronavirus, and I'll touch on this. Then we'll introduce our next caller, and we're going to have a little three-part conversation then. Here's an article that says, China expert says, coronavirus could lead to the collapse of the Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party's secretive handling of the coronavirus could lead to its collapse in the same way that the Chernobyl nuclear disaster contributed to the Soviet Union's demise, an expert on China said Friday. Gordon Chang said in his interview with Just the News at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, D.C., that people in China are talking about Chernobyl. The secrecy surrounding the 1986 disaster led to the failure of the Soviet Union within a half decade, he noted. Maybe we're starting to see the same dynamic now, but the Communist Party certainly is weakened, and it's fighting to keep itself in place. He said the Chinese Communist Party is in deep trouble, end quote. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, just to inject a couple thoughts. You know, even if the virus spreads and there's multiple deaths in America, I believe sovereignly and providentially that deity will have Trump be reelected. And number two, and then I'm hanging up, I'd like you, Greg and Papa, to discuss any pitfalls with capitalism. I'm a capitalist, but I've heard the term predatory capitalism, and